In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you know, our classes are basically the feminist movement and its implications for the Catholic faith. We are scheduled, according to your schedule, to first have a class on the disappearance of the Father in the American family. It is basically what feminism is about. Then, the second part is restoration of fatherhood in American society. Starting next week, we'll concentrate on the second part of our class. My decision has been to concentrate on the first part of the course on the disappearance of the father, your family. Basically what feminism is about. I cannot emphasize too strongly what the purpose of feminism is. Remove fatherhood from the family. And maybe there must still be a male gender parent. But as I've said more than once, Marxism deeply penetrated American society. In the very beginnings, in the early 19th century, it had been consciously and deliberately opposed to what they call the mastery or control of human society by the men. According to Marx, unless you change that radically, there can be no creation, what we call Marxism, otherwise known as communism, in the world. The real goal of Marxism, of course, is to create a classless society. But the logic in Marxism is first, if you can, to remove the role of men in society. I do that by motivating women to get control of society. Want women control society. So the claim is, then you'll produce a classless society. To us Christians is a contradiction in terms. Our lecture for today, I would like to emphasize, I would much welcome your questions, comments, or objections. Written out. Please write them out. If any better, print them out. So I, with my bad eye, can read. I chose to use the article, you shall have a copy, Feminism, the Language Wars of Religion. I chose this article because it is so comprehensive is coverage. Our plan then for today's class is to use what I've given you. I have here a big print so I can read it. What I will do is cover the contents of this article. And once in a while, I will refer to the article specifically. In my notes, divisions. I'll read some of my notes and make comments as we go along. Notice the subtitle the Hill of Hitchcock has. Or change the belief of the church. That is, you change the language. That belief is the expression of the liturgy, the worship of the church. The sworn enemy, to use the term, sworn enemy of Marxism, the eyes of Karl Marx, his followers, has been the Catholic Church. No words can exaggerate the importance of that statement. In other words, there is, of course, Christianity the world outside of the Catholic Church. But the root of what Marxism wanted and wants to establish, the root is opposed by the Roman Catholic Church. We're anticipating what we're going to talk about. Either you believe in God, a God who is master of the universe, or because he is God, not only the creator of the universe, but the master of the whole world. And not, but importantly, the language of revelation God is always spoken of in the masculine gender. We begin then. The roots of feminism, as we know, are basically at variance with Christianity. Feminism argues from a massive discrimination of women by men, are going to revolt against men. As why, not coincidentally, as I've said more than once, had been held in an empty convent. 85% of the convents of the United States have shut down. Sure, I've said it before. The root of revolution in the world today is Marxism. Marx is out to destroy, I mean that literally, to destroy the Catholic Church. Marx is succeeding phenomenally. Most famous proponent of this ideology, Karl Marx, his disciple, Nikolai Lenin. Marx was a genius. In the vocabulary of Christianity, he was a prophet behind the revolution. But the philosopher who wrote extensively was Lenin. They urged, I quote, a revolution will depend on the degree of participation by women, unquote them. On these terms, women's liberation is in part the larger struggle for the eventual creation of a class of society. The steps in Marxism were and are. First, you must reduce the point of eliminating the power of men, masculine gender, in the world. The great dream, as I've said more than once, the dream of Karl Marx was, of course, to use conflict, struggle, the most basic struggle. And Marx promoted was a conflict between women and men in that order. At least the women, they are being oppressed by men. Then, only then, can you have the foundation for creating what Marx called a class in society. That's number one of my 22 sections I want to cover today. Number two, our class today will be on feminism, the language wars of religion. I have copies and Hitchcock's article on the subject. I could have, of course, have lectured at length hours. Helen Hitchcock says, I think about 12 pages. If I mentioned you before, I ask all of you to hear the first day of Advent. You know that Advent was a season of penance, do you know that? Of penance in the Catholic Church, Lent and Advent. They say it as you do perform the penance of reading what I gave you. I've used Helen Hitchcock's article because it summarizes what I want to talk about today. The language war of religion going on, and the principal target of that war is the Roman Catholic Church. I've said this before, I'm sure. I was speaking of the Archdiocese of Detroit. Less than 3 years, 42 parishes have been shut down. Now, to close down the Catholic parishes, as you know, was in Chicago. Less than 3 years, 62 parishes in Chicago, they closed down. Having made very clear, the closing of convents, the breakdown hundreds of religious communities, especially women, is part of a strategy of Marxism. Well, I think I've said this too before. Most powerful Marxist nation in the world is what country? United States. Now, no, that is simply not to know what's going on in America. I've said this before. Meeting Marx and Lenin at the age of 14. Parents born in Slovakia. Never spoke English, I think I told you, at home. Never spoke English at home. And Marxism, as you also know, has succeeded phenomenally. Not so much politically, but what we call ideologically. And the principal nation, to repeat, owning Marxist ideology in the United States. You don't begin to understand what you are in the Catholic Church unless you first know that. Number three. As I've said, I plan to make a series of basic statements drawing on the analysis of Hitchcock. In other words, I will concentrate now for 19 sections of today's class. Make a statement or read a paragraph and explain what I mean. Number four in our sequence. The English language has been especially used by the feminists to promote their ideology. In other words, the English language is a ready tool for Marxism. And reason is a ready tool is because over the centuries, the Teutonic basis of the English language is German. The axe figure I don't have, but over 1 million words in the English language. Of those more than 1 million words, less than 4,000 of Anglo-Saxon origin. And those words have been are being exploited by Marxists, by the feminists, and very successfully undermine Christianity. Most of our language, English language, is derived from the Latin. Who would know the Latin word for man? What is it? Well, thanks for telling me that. Now in English, the word man has two very different meanings. It does mean, as you said, man, homo. What in Latin does homo mean? Homo is derived from what language?
Latin.
However, the Latin language, centuries of preparation by the Holy Spirit, when Christianity came along, not coincidentally, providentially, he had chosen Latin, the official language of the Catholic Church. Now back to my question. What is another word in Latin for man?
Vir.
Now two words in Latin. Homo, H-O-M-O, and vir, V-I-R. English, they both mean man. What's the difference in Latin? Homo means man in what sense? Man, as distinct from, say, an animal. For that matter, an angel. Homo means a rational animal. What are you talking about, Father? The official definition of homo. You all use a plural homines, you ladies. To use a strange language, you all homos. In Latin, homines. Latin language distinguishes the homo as a rational animal. And vir, what does vir mean? A rational animal who is male gender. Oh, the demonic, in that literally, demonic strategy of Marxism, of feminism. I mean this deliberately, capitalizing on the English language to undermine Christianity. That is why feminist movement have been most successful in countries where they speak English. Number five, in the Catholic Church, called ICL, what does ICL stand for?
International
Commission for English and the Liturgy. ICL. ICL, the leader, revised the meaning of original Latin liturgy since 1974. 24 years. Very, very successful. 1974, as I'm sure you know, when the Church approved use of the vernacular in the liturgy. Only God knows how mysterious His providence and behind, shall I see, the revolution in the Catholic Church. The ICL, National Commission of English and Liturgy, and in the forefront of promoting, what shall I call it, the secularization of the liturgy in English. I could speak now for hours while the ICL. And behind this revolution are some of the most astute minds in the Catholic Church. Well, I know, in my 32nd year working for the Holy See, number six, in recent years, the ICL, what that means, National Commission, English in the Liturgy, emerging what has been called a revised translation of the entire Catholic liturgy. Making sense. This effort needs to be widely publicized. At root of this effort to, and we say, make inclusive English language. The effort to get women ordained to the priesthood, remove what is called, I quote, male domination of the Catholic Church, unquote. For 32 years in the making. The success has been phenomenal. Am I still clear? How much? Many hours I could talk to you about Detroit. Years before I even came to Detroit. And much more about Detroit, I think I should tell you. I thank you for coming to this class. What I'm sharing with you is the underpinnings of the revolution and the Catholic Church. As you know, feminism in Catholic circles means oppose, oppose, keep opposing the domination of the Catholic Church by men. And why, as I'm sure you also know, Holy Father came out with some very strong statements. The one we declared that the ordination of only men, male gender, priesthood, is part of Christian revelation. You cannot change that. There may be some part denominations who not yet have women ministers. Over the years, I've spoken to many Protestants, taught them, I think I told you, six of their Protestant seminaries. Feminism has profoundly penetrated Protestantism. In Protestantism, there's no need to be a man, masculine gender, to ordain a priest, because, question, may I ask you to answer? Does Protestantism have a priesthood?
No.
One of my favorite definitions of Protestantism. Protestantism, priestless Christianity. Number 7. So the rise of Protestantism, early 16th century, to be exact, remember the exact date when Martin Luther broke with the Catholic Church?
October 31st,
what year?
1517.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, Luther German, wunderbar. Thank you. And ever since, he's also, you know, October 31st, had become what?
Halloween.
To be removed from its Catholic premises. And the eve, as we know, All Saints' Day. So the rise of Protestantism in the 16th century, feminism and constantly growing. However, main reason for this growth had been the rise of Marxist communism. A hand in copying men and women, change the words, copying women and men, way back, before Christ. But Marx was a genius. We invented, we can say, it's called a religion based on this conflict. So I'm sure you know, communism, or we call it Marxism, is built on conflict. It's in Marx. No progress without conflict. Over the years, Marxism has concentrated on conquering the rich and the poor. Capital and labor. But the dream of Marx not being realized was a conflict between, in that order, women and men. And that is why now, almost 200 years, the Catholic Church having the principal target radical feminism. Let me be as clear as I can. feminism has been very, very, very successful. I speak an empty comment. Just illustrates what I'm saying. My figures are 85% of women religious in the United States have left religious life. Any convents, any novitiates, in other words, the principal target of feminism has been and still is the Catholic Church. All that needs to be said and undermined. Why? Because the Catholic Church stands firm in God's mysterious providence. Himself is always identified in sacred scripture as masculine in gender. And we won't be missing.